The following edition of the Kelly Alexander Show is an encore presentation.
Music, news, entertainment, it's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
We're ready to rock the show with special guests, the legendary Jacksons. That's right, Marlon and Tito Jackson talk to us about their 50th anniversary in music and what music inspires them. We're then joined by the phenomenally talented Serena Ryder, who's dropping her brand new album, Utopia, and who'll be heading out on tour later this year. We wrap things up with the eclectic and very creative artist, Kid Koala. Kid Koala has been on the scene for years and continues to experiment and try new things with his music. But first, we are super excited to play this new song from Katy Perry called Swish Swish. Katy seems to take direct aim at Taylor Swift and their feud, which has been going on for a few years now. Let's hear Katy throw it down. It's Swish Swish on the Kelly Alexander Show.
A tiger, don't lose no sleep, don't need opinions from a shellfish or a sheep. Don't you come for me, no, not today. You calculated, I got your number, 'cause you're a joker. In a minute, get used to it. Funny, my name keeps coming at your mouth, 'cause I stay winning. Name up like Swish, Swish, Bish. Another one in the basket.
So I'm making hits with Katy.
Swish, swish, bish. Another one in the basket.
What a complete honor and thrill to head out to the set of La Voix here in Montreal and hang out with Marlon and Tito of the legendary Jackson family. I've listened to these guys since I was a child, and meeting them in person was a total dream come true. They put on a fantastic performance, and we're in a great mood when we caught up to them backstage. And by the way, if you happen to be in Montreal, they're going to be back to perform on June 11th at the Olympia Theater to celebrate their 50th anniversary in music, and you can get tickets on the Olympia website.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So I wanted to ask you, did you have any preconceived notions about what Montreal and Quebec would be like before you got here?
No, because I thought they would be great, which they were. So we did not. We just were here looking forward to seeing who we're going to perform with the contestants, and all four of them were great. They were great.
Yes.
And do you find, as artists, again, obviously you perform in English most of the time, but when you're singing and performing with people who sing in French, is it just all about the music? Does it matter what language you're in?
It's all about the music.
Right.
We all like the same music, the same beats.
That's one thing I love about music. It's a universal language. And the whole objective is to just bring people together in harmony and peace and unify them in one place and just spread the love and the peace.
50-year career, what does it feel like when someone says that to you?
It's just a number.
Yeah, it feels like yesterday.
I mean,
we were kids. We were doing something that we loved to do, and we never thought about, you know, becoming big or anything. We just loved performing and entertaining. And now, 50 years later.
Here we are, still loving it.
When it comes to some of the songs that you sang, obviously, your ABC, I'll Be There, the list goes on and on with so many hit songs that you've had. Are those actually your favorite songs to perform, or is it more album tracks that you guys like to perform?
I always enjoy singing the earlier hits because those are the ones that's landmark to Jackson's, but some of the latter stuff is just as exciting for us.
I enjoy performing them all. I mean, just doing the show and having a great time on stage. That's mainly what we enjoy, getting out there. It's different once you hit the stage. And when you get off stage, it's a totally different atmosphere. You're a different person.
Absolutely.
I feel more free on stage. And then I get off the stage and I deal with whatever I have to deal with. But
do you guys have a pregame like ritual that you always do before you hit the stage? Like, is it always the same thing?
Yeah, stretch. That's what I do. I stretch. And not really.
Okay.
And tea and ginger and tea for your voice and hot water and cayenne pepper. And
Tito, do you do hand exercises for the guitar?
No, not really. I just warm up playing the guitar a little bit, and the brothers sing backstage, sing some of the earlier songs that we don't perform that we all enjoy, and that's how we warm up.
What are you currently listening to in your iPod or MP3 player right now?
I like all kind of music. Believe it or not, I listen to classical, country, western music. You know, soul music, opera. I listen to all music because great music is great music, regardless where it comes from, what genre it is, or what style of music. If it's great, it's great.
Tito?
Well, I listen to all type of music. Like Marlon says, I'm a fan of like the Staple Singers, Sly Stone, and those artists. And that's what I enjoy, basically.
We started singing country western music first.
Yes,
my mom was a big country western fan, and she used to sing with us all the time. So, yes.
That is fantastic. And what final message would you like to give to your Montreal fans? Because obviously you have fans around the world, but is Montreal a little bit special?
Yes, it always is special because they were some of the first people that showed the Jackson's love outside of America. And it's always a pleasure to come here. We've been here many times, and we're looking very forward to coming here on the 11th. So and come to the show and enjoy it, and let's have a party.
Right. And continue your support because we do appreciate it. And we do not take it for granted. So we do love it.
And after the show on the 11th, can you make sure to have some poutine for us?
Pardon me?
After the show on the 11th, will you have some poutine for us? Do you know what poutine is?
This ear I can't hear out of right
have
now.
Have you had poutine yet?
No, we haven't.
Do you know what poutine is?
No, we don't.
Okay, so poutine is like our dish in Quebec. It is French fries, gravy, and curd cheese.
Oh, wow.
Does that sound interesting?
I'm going to let Tito have that.
I'll try it.
I think you might like it, Marlon.
I think you might like it.
Okay, so after the show, because you can't eat that and then go on stage because you might get a cramp. And last question, what can we expect from your show on June 11th at the Olympia Theater?
It's going to be a show full of energy. My brothers and I are a high energy group, and we're going to just have fun, have a party on stage.
We like having fun and having a party and getting the audience
involved.
So
if
you're there, we might pull you up on stage.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's Marlon and Tito Jackson of the Jackson family. Make sure to check them out on thejacksons.com.
Up on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Cannot wait to touch base with Serena Ryder and Kid Koala. They are both fantastic artists who care deeply about the music they produce, and their fans love them for it. Time to get you back in the groove first, though, with another legendary song from the Jacksons. It's I Want You Back on the Kelly Alexander Show.
On Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
We're very happy to welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show a phenomenal Canadian artist who's had incredible success with her last album, Harmony, featuring the hit song Stompa and What I Wouldn't Do. Serena Ryder is a six-time Juno Award winner and is here to talk about her new single called Got Your Number and upcoming album, Utopia. Serena, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So when you and I last spoke, you were in the thick of things with, promoting Harmony. You were performing at, all these crazy events across the country. People could not get enough of Stompa and of you. And I wanted to ask you, were those couple of years completely a blur and kind of overwhelming? And were you able to process everything after when you took a break?
Yes. All of the above. Yes. They were a blur, they were overwhelming, and it took me a few years to process the last record. Absolutely.
And what were some of the things that you did on your hiatus? Did you, like, completely get away from everything? Because, again, like, I don't even know how you were breathing during those years, because everywhere I looked, you were there.
Yeah, definitely I've realized that breathing's the most important thing. It's true. It's, like, the only thing you need to do to stay alive, but we always forget that. So I like to keep things simple now.
Mm-hmm.
Try to anyways. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Awesome. Did you travel and stuff or did you just sort of like hang out in Toronto?
Yeah, I traveled and I hung out in Toronto. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Now I wanted to ask you what your mindset was like when you came back to work and got into the studio, because you hear it time and time again that there's always like this pressure following a big album to you know, come back with something big. But did you fall into that trap, or were you able to sort of put it inside and say, no, this is a new chapter?
I feel like I'm starting a new chapter for sure. And I feel like a little bit more confident in myself to like react in the way that I feel like I need to react in the moment. Mm-hmm. Which isn't always easy for other people, but seems to be easier for me if I just let things go when I am, you know, wanting to hold on to them. So that's something that I'm still learning as well. I'm actually even going back to school.
Oh, are you?
And getting my grade 12. Yeah.
That's fantastic. How are you liking school? Have you started yet or not yet?
I have, yeah. But I'm just taking it online.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite subject?
Geography right now.
Good for
you.
I
like to know where I am. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And where I'm going.
And how much time does it take you, like, out of your day to do the schoolwork?
An hour.
Okay. That's manageable.
Yeah, not too much. Sometimes more. Like, I feel like you can learn something for, like, 1 minute and then, like, put it into action the rest of your day. And, you know, you only really need to know one thing and be very simple with it. Be very patient with yourself and be very simple with it.
I think you've missed your calling as a self-help guru.
A self-help guru.
Yeah, you sound really philosophical.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I would like to help myself as much as possible.
Awesome. I wanted to ask you about the single. So Got Your Number, lead song, super catchy, makes you want to dance, makes you want to clap. Like I said earlier, I was clapping on my own desk when I was listening to it. How did the song actually come about? And did you know right away that you again had something? Cause like, I just like, again, the song is going to go, like, it's just going to go. Did you know that?
I knew I wanted to dance and move around and I wanted to get something out of me that was in me. So that's why I was playing the drums. I was like, and I don't really know how to play the drums very well, but I've got a good sense of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did it for fun, and then this song just kind of came up, like, it's hit me bad, and he told me it's crazy, it's 36 steps to the front door, baby. Like, just kind of came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Awesome. So
it's just for fun. I want to make people dance.
Do you, like, I've said this to you before, but I feel like you are very good at writing anthemic songs.
Thank you.
Do you know that? Do you know that, like, you have this in you? Because, like, you just, like, Stompa obviously was ridiculous. I find this one is now ridiculous. Like, it's amazing. And I just feel like you have, like, the secret potion.
Mm. Well, it's no secret. And if anyone wants to know the ingredients, I will be happy to share.
Okay, great. You should have your own online course.
Well, sure. Maybe one day I will.
Very good.
I'll need a lot of help from my management team and my people who work with me and my family and stuff. But I think we can all have an online course and just like learn through the actual world,
mm-hmm.
like the actual like outdoors and people outside of us, you know, nature, putting our feet on the ground, walking outside, exercising, eating right. But then also movies, TV, internet, learning. It just needs to be done a bit slower than we're doing it because it's getting a bit overwhelming for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like everybody needs to just meet up 50%, go like 50% natural, 50% whatever you think of as unnatural, and meet yourself in the middle.
I like it. Now, new album.
I like it too.
Okay.
New album.
New
Utopia.
Album. Yes. So do you have an idea yet when we're going to hear it?
I do have an idea.
Okay.
And ideas are kind of in my head and in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
In my body and in my brain, I don't quite know the exact date, but I do know that it's going to be released in the wintertime, maybe end of November to beginning of December. So that's a for sure thing.
Okay, cool. And is the album thematic or a collection of songs?
Thematic and a collection of songs.
I like it.
It's based on three different kinds of songs. So very dark songs, very light songs, and very gray songs.
Okay.
And I just put them together and just like my last album, just to try and make harmony, except this one I'm calling Utopia.
And can you tell us why?
I thought it just did.
That's good. It's true. You did it. You did it. Now, are you, like, with the fact that, it, you know, it's going to sort of come out in the fall or late, like, early winter, are you gearing yourself up for touring then? Like, are we going to see you across our fair country?
Yeah, I've already started, and I'm really excited about it. And I'm going to be all over the country as much as I can, because I love Canada. Je t'aime Montréal et Québec.
Do you have a special place in your heart for us, like for Montrealers, just because I feel like we are different from the rest of the country?
Oh, I love Montreal because it's so 50%. It's like halfway French, halfway English. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love how French Quebec as a whole is. I'm so in love. Like, ma vie en rose. My life is in the rose, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm still learning. I'm still a student. So, j'ai pratiqué un peu toujours à français parce que je t'aime l'accent. And I practice English every day.
That is awesome. Do you have a favorite restaurant that you visit when you're down here? Like,
So far, my favorite restaurant has been the lawn at Sussex House.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And when you come back, whenever that tour date's going to be, will you maybe join us for some poutine or something? Because I think that'd be awesome to hang out with Serena Ryder and have some poutine.
I would absolutely love that.
Yay!
Especially if there's, like, vegan gravy, I'd be down with that.
Okay, cool. So that'll be my homework to find that out.
It's really easy. It's just mushroom gravy, basically.
Okay, I can figure that out. Even I can figure that out.
I love poutine. Actually, I want to have some today if we can find some.
Okay.
If we can find some, babe. My husband, or my fiancé, husband-to-be, Colin, is driving our Mini Cooper right now.
Okay.
And we're almost home.
Awesome. Very good. Well, I won't keep you for much longer. I did want to ask you, though, I saw on your Twitter feed that, and first of all, I have to say that I'm very excited that we both follow each other on Twitter, but I noticed that you had retweeted a post from Melissa Etheridge, who had retweeted your song, Got Your Number. How cool was that to have Melissa Etheridge do that?
Oh, she's my coolest big sister. She's the best. She may even be my auntie. I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Melissa Etheridge. She's really awesome. She took me under her wing, like, gosh, I don't know how many years ago now, 6, 5, and she hasn't really let me go, and it's been really awesome. I love her and her wife.
Yeah, oh, that's great. And would you ever, like, I don't know, have you toured with her before? Like, would you want to do that again?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because she loved one of my songs and sang it as a duet with me.
Okay.
And we released it. You guys should play that one. It's good.
I'm gonna talk to our music director and see what happens. Actually, when it comes to social media, I wanted to know how important it is for you to connect with your fans. Like, do you still appreciate, you know, hearing from people a lot? I'm sure they obviously missed you because you were on, you know, gone for a while.
Mm-hmm. My fans are very important, and I'm very important to myself, and my family's very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to try and find a balance to try and have as honest and peaceful conversations as I can with everybody, because it's hard when you're trying to find out all the answers from people around you, you know, because there's a lot of questions and I don't know that I can answer all of them, but
mm-hmm.
I definitely love trying to.
That's awesome. And before I go, I did want to ask you this. What are you listening to these days? Like, what's in your iPod or in your car?
I'm listening to my fiance.
Mm-hmm.
The Truths, because we just wrote a single together.
Okay.
And it's a really cool song. It's remember the way to be used to give all of the masks we people can't break it down.
Trying to find a place to park, baby.
Yeah, he's trying to find a place to park. It's called Beautiful and Tragic, and my single is called Got Your Number.
Perfect.
And you got my number because you called me, so...
That's right. Serena, thank you so much for this. As always, you know, we love you so much and we're so proud of everything you do for you know, music in general. And of course, being a Canadian artist, you rock, sister. So thanks so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for playing my music. And I'm excited to eat poutine with you.
Awesome. That is Juno Award-winning artist Serena Ryder. Make sure you grab her new single, Got Your Number, and check out her website, SerenaRyder.com, to get all of her social media.
You want my love, you say you need my desire. You got $1 million, but you still can't buy it. Death 29 and the end has begun. But it's too late, the change is gonna come. Love is blind, but now I see. I don't love you no
Street the other day, trying to distract myself, but then I see your face. Oh wait, that's someone else. Trying to play it coy, trying to make it disappear, but just like the Battle of Troy, there's nothing subtle here. In my room there's a king-size space, bigger than it used to be. If you want, you can rent that place, call me an amenity. Even if it's in my dreams, fraction of my mind. Oh, every time I watch you slip and tie. Oh, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Oh, trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Not to think about you. No, 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 not to think about you. Oh, no, no. I'm a bad liar. I see how your tension builds. It's like looking in a mirror. You're touched like a happy pill, but still all we do is fear. What could possibly happen next? Can we focus on the love? Paint my kiss across your chest. If you're the art, I'll be the brush. Ooh, you're taking up a fraction of my mind. Slip and tying. Oh, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Oh, trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Not to think, I'll tell you. No, 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 not to think, I'll tell you. Oh, no, 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 I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Oh, trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Not to give in to you. Guess I'm a bad liar. And oh, baby, let's make reality, actuality, a reality. Oh, baby, let's make reality, actuality, a reality. I'm trying.
I'm a bad liar.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
We're happy to welcome to the show DJ, producer, composer, and award-winning graphic novelist Kid Koala to the Kelly Alexander Show. Kid Koala has just released his fifth studio album called Music to Draw To, Satellite, and this is a departure for him with regards to the musical soundscape he's created. Kid Koala, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
So before we get started on the new album, I did want to take people back a little bit with regards to your career in the business. How did you head down the musical path? Because if I've done my research correctly, I know you actually studied education at McGill University. So why the switch, or how did the switch happen?
Actually, I mean, we'd have to go further back than that. I started on piano when I was 4 years old. And then I started DJing when I was 12. I got into the scratch turntable scene. And my mother calls it my rebellious years, which I've still yet to outgrow. When I applied to go to university, you know, at the time I was really into Monty Python and Jim Henson's work.
Yeah.
And I really wanted a job at the Buffett Show or something. It felt like the perfect place to work because you could just, you know, write a song about the letter Q, or then, you know, you could do a dance with joke-talking bear.
That's
there'd be
awesome.
Pigs in space. You know, it was one of those weird universes, this demented universe they were able to create and just sort of seemingly have endless fun with the format of, at that point, television. My mother said, in case Jim Henson doesn't call you and offer you a job, you want to study something a little more pragmatic. And so that's where I came up with early childhood education, because I felt like as a teacher, and most elementary school teachers, actually, I think they're some of the greatest entertainers in the world. I mean, that's a fickle audience.
Yep.
A group of 5 or 6 year olds, you know, they don't stand for much. You pretty much have to be on the whole day.
It's true. So that's how it started then.
That's how it started, with classical piano. Yeah.
Perfect. And so when you were a kid, I know you said classical piano, in the pop scene though, who did you look to, or I should say like hip hop or whatever, like who was it for you at that age?
I think, you know, when I was about 12 years old, it was a lot of the hip hop that was coming out around there in the late 80s, you know, Public Enemy, De La Soul, as far as scratch DJs, Mr. Jazzy Jeff, Daddy Rich, Mr. Mix. That was kind of the era that I was introduced to the whole scene.
Okay.
I really got into it.
And I wanted to ask this. How did you sort of come up with the idea? And maybe I guess it goes back to your interest in like all those Jim Henson things. But those samples that you started to use, like the Charlie Brown stuff, like did that all just come from your own passion with regards to pop culture?
It just came from the records you had access to. I think a lot of DJs, they just start with what they have access to. You know, when I started, it was literally my parents' record collection. You know, a lot of classical music, some Rodgers and Hart, you know, musical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenter's records. My mom was super into the Carpenters. I destroyed all her Carpenter's records.
Oh, no.
But then, as you get going, you just start digging for things. And I would just go to Salvation Army and pick up whatever I could find. So a lot of the records that were orphaned, you know, by other families, that they would become kind of gold to me.
That's so cool. Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Kid Koala. Make sure you check out his website, kidkoala.com. Now, I know that you've shared stages or been, you know, touring with the likes of people like Arcade Fire and Beastie Boys and A Tribe Called Quest. What was it like being a part of those instances? Because it sounds like obviously Beastie Boys probably were influential to you as a kid.
Very much so. Yeah, it's like I've had one of those weird careers so far where I've pretty much met 99% of my musical mentors and heroes, and actually I had a chance to either tour or work with them. It's a very kind of Forrest Gumpian life that I really have to pinch myself all the time in terms of like, how did I get here? How did they even hear about my stuff? But something happened. I don't, you know, I think when Arcade Fire asked me to tour, I was talking to them and they said, we saw you on the Radiohead tour prior
oh, wow.
to that. When they were just starting as a band, I don't even think they were called Arcade Fire. Like, we went down to Boston to see Radiohead and you were opening, and it was one of those things. And, you know, we found out you were in Montreal and we became friends after that.
Oh, that's awesome. I did want to ask you, just because we're sort of on the topic, with regards to, you know, A Tribe Called Quest, obviously their latest album just came out, you know, 18 years after their last one. What do you think of it? And obviously it was devastating, you know, losing Fife last year.
Absolutely. That was a heavy, year all around, not just for hip hop and music, all of music. Yeah, I mean, what can I say? Tribe Called Quest, People's Instinctive Travels, and Bad of Rhythm. That's their first album. Actually, I was already tracking them when they were guest rapping on Jungle Brothers and De La Soul 12 inches prior to that first album. But when they came out on the scene with that first album, I've been a fan ever since. So yeah, it's very devastating to hear about Fife's passing.
And what do you think of the new album?
Oh, I think it's great. I think, you know, anything from Tribe is great for me.
Yeah, for me too. So you and I would agree on that.
But just send me 2 copies on vinyl right now. Actually, send me 4 because I'm probably going to have to practice on the first 2 and wear it all the group.
That's awesome. Now I'm
but that song, like for instance, that song "Excursions," the opening track on Low End Theory.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. That's like my Rocky theme. You know what I mean?
That's so cool. That's so cool you would say it like that. That's
awesome.
You gotta
make moves.
Now, I wanted to ask you, obviously, the new album just dropped, Music to Draw To, Satellite. So talk to us, first of all, about just the title. Like, that's a lofty title. So where did you come up with it, and what's the vibe of the disc?
This album started as a utilitarian album. Like, the idea of it being a record that people would put on when they actually needed music that would keep them in some sort of creative or work zone. Basically, music that's not actually going to demand 1,000% of your attention. It's actually going to leave you enough headspace to do what you do. And the title comes from an event that we started called Music to Draw To in 2009, where I would do these 5-hour ambient electronic down-tempo contemporary classical DJ sets at a small theater here in Montreal. And I would just invite local creatives, either, you know, artists, animators, video game coders, screenwriters, whatever they had to work on, they could come, and I would just play music that I like to draw to myself. And so in my collection, I actually have maybe a handful of albums that I call drawing records. And those are the ones that when I first heard them, when I first dropped the needle on the first song, I knew immediately, it's like, I need to get this record because it's going to be part of life somehow. Like, I'm going to play this record and it's going to spawn either a new comic book or a new story or something. And the types of records that I could draw to on repeat, you know, the album just keeps cycling over and I just won't notice time passing. And when you're an animator or you're a comic book artist or you're working on a graphic novel where you have to stay in the zone for several pages or several weeks sometimes. And that type of music has a utility.
That's really cool. I like that. And the satellite part, where's that from?
Satellite comes from there's sort of a B narrative underneath it that Emiliana and I had come up with when we were writing lyrics for the record. Basically, she had talked to me about an article she had read where this tech company was saying, you know, we're going to send a spacecraft to Mars and we're looking for volunteers to be on that Pioneer mission. The only caveat being you can't come back because we're not going to have enough rocket fuel or whatever. And she'd read this article interviewing somebody who had applied to this thing and actually got in. And that kind of just was a really sort of catalyzing article for us to just talk for hours about what it would be like to do that, what it would mean, you know, would we do it if we had the opportunity to leave Earth for another world?
Wow.
And that became the narrative, the kind of story structure for the lyric songs. There's 18 songs on the record, most of them instrumental, but there's 8 lyric songs, and then those kind of follow this couple, this imaginary couple that we wrote the lyrics through their point of view. You know, one person leaving for Mars, the other one left behind.
Do you have a favorite track on the album? And I know that's hard because they're probably all your babies, but does one sort of stick out to you or a couple stick out to you that you're like, if you were to have to present, you know, 3 songs out of the album to a group of people, which 3 would you pick or which one would you pick?
I like most of them. I would say, you know, Collapser, it was a really fun one to do. It's kind of when the character, the protagonist, has actually just left the planet, is quite optimistic about the adventures ahead, not really looking back. And it's kind of a nice feeling one. The other one I would like would probably be Adrift, which is the first vocal track on that record. And Nightfall, Pale Blue, I think that's how we close the album. Emiliana wrote such a beautiful lyric and melody for that.
And talk to us about how you hooked up with Emiliana, like Torini is her last name. How did you guys hook up to make this project sort of a collaborative effort?
I had met her a few times over the last 10 years, but we never really got a chance to work on a project together. Either it didn't seem to fit in my mind musically, or just our schedules weren't aligning. And it wasn't until I had submitted this song to a Jason Reitman film, and Jason wanted to use one of these tracks. It was called Nightfall in his film. And he called me and he said, "I really like this track. I'm going to put it in the movie. And I also want to reprise it in the credit roll." But in the credit roll, I kind of want to hear a different version of it, maybe one of the vocals. And so he actually kind of had me question, you know, who could we get to sing on this track, which is actually quite delicate in nature. And immediately I thought of Emiliana, and I called her, and that was our first time collaborating.
Oh, that's awesome. She has a very interesting voice, and it works very well with the tone of the soundscape. So it's really cool that you guys made this happen.
Yeah, I mean, she understands winter. Like, I recorded this album for 3 consecutive winters. And the second the spring came, I said, "That's it, I'm not working on it anymore until next winter."
Wow.
And she's from Iceland, so she actually knows what it is like. But you know, the whole thing, the tempo of the whole city changes, at least in Montreal, when
yep.
there's that much snow everywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. You look at a track like Adrift, I actually feel like, what is that tempo? Well, it's not a dance tempo. It's the tempo of shoveling your driveway.
It's true. That is bang on. And that's really interesting, actually, that you, because I read that in the notes, that Montreal and the season of winter, I guess, obviously played a huge part in this album. And do you find that Montreal seeps into a lot of your other work as well?
Absolutely. It's a total Jekyll and Hyde kind of system here as far as the seasons go. The summertime, it's so hot and crazy, but everybody is out in the street. There's festival after festival. Yeah, I don't even think the city is open any of the streets. It just seems like just one 4-month party in the summer. But once we turn into winter, yeah, everybody kind of knows we got 5 months of this to live through. And either you escape it,
yep.
which some people do, they deliberately, you know, head south or try to, you know, go on some other sabbatical, or you embrace it. And I think for me, music could draw to you as even that event started because we were here in the winter and we realized, you know, well, we want to do something, but we don't necessarily feel like partying.
Right.
You know, it's winter and it's a Monday. That was also, you know, I wanted to just turn into, like, let's do an event on Monday where it's not just, you know, about that. It's about something else, you know.
And, you know, speaking of Montreal, you know, we've had some great artists come out of here, and some of them actually, you know, make the decision to move elsewhere, to go to New York, to go to LA, maybe even overseas. How important is it for you to sort of, like, have your feet here, your roots here? Because obviously it is such an amazing city. It's got that European vibe, but of course we're Canadian as well.
Mm-hmm. What, is that a bad thing?
No, it's great. It's great. It's just
you're
usually,
like,
people want to head.
European vibe.
Yeah.
But the caveat is we're Canadian.
Yeah. It's true.
That's just the way that sounds.
I should revisit how I ask
no,
questions.
I see what you mean. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah, I travel all over the planet. I'm always happy to come home. Something about this town, even with their relationship with creatives and making art here, you know, I think it's a bit of an outsider town that has that kind of outsider mentality, and it nurtures people that want to try kind of sometimes more left field things, whether it's in dance or film or music or, you know, anything. I feel that ethos is very strong here. Some other cities, it's more commercially driven sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they let that dictate what the stuff ends up sounding like or looking like or feeling like. But I think in Montreal, people kind of use their intuition quite a bit and are pretty adventurous with what they're trying to put out into the world.
Agreed. I totally get that. I actually lived in Toronto for a long time and missed Montreal so much that I was like, you have to make it work in Montreal, and I came home.
No, honestly, I love all those times. In fact, my wife is from New York, and when she was finishing her grad school there, we considered living there for a while, but you know, at one point it just started calling us back. We just missed Montreal a lot.
Yeah. Now, with regards to the record, I saw that you have a bunch of dates coming up, performances. How long do you intend to push the record, and do you plan to go like overseas and stuff with it as well?
Absolutely. I mean, this is actually it's a series I've signed with Arts and Crafts. So this is the first in a series of what we would call them, like, quiet time winter records with, again, that utility truck. It also, you know, featured vocalists and all this. Emiliana currently is on another tour, and she's also expecting.
Oh,
so
wow.
We do have plans to do a more extensive tour, you know, later in the year, but also continue this as a concept, maybe something that we just do in the winter time.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't really believe in album cycles. I've never worked that way. Like the other show that we're doing, Euphonium of Falls, entering its third year of touring now.
Oh, wow.
It's almost more like a theater group would have active shows and whatnot. You know, so Music to Draw To, and even the satellite concert that we've designed now that has everybody in the audience playing at their own separate turntable stations, and we all together become this, you know, we make this ambient music together in the room. It's designed to be something that can evolve. And yeah, absolutely, we'll be going to Europe and Australia and Asia with this show. There's a lot of interest to bring it there. But right now, to be honest, I'm holding out on a lot of the warm cities. They've asked already. And I said, you know, I just want to play cold cities right now.
That's so cool. Usually it's the other way around.
Maybe it'll be us. Absolutely. And I just spoke to Emiliana. I'm like, I want the next show after we, you know, get back from this East Coast run. We're actually going back on tour with Euphonia.
Okay.
So for several months. And then when we reactivate Satellite, you know, I was like, let's do a big kickoff in Iceland and maybe do the rest of Scandinavia.
It's so interesting because like most people would want to head to Ibiza or wherever else is warm. And I love that you're heading to the cold seasons. That's awesome. And
I've never really, I've just always kind of tried to find my own lane a little bit, I guess.
That's cool.
I guess the function of that is that you create something that I do find has an audience, albeit a small one. It's not really about smashing summer box office hits,
right?
You know, numbers or anything. It's just like, we want to do this intimate type of show to play this kind of quiet music, but in a way that is different and exciting for the performers and the audience.
That, well, it sounds like it's going to be a great show, and I wish you all the best with it. And last question before I let you go is, you know, I know obviously you are an award-winning graphic novelist. Does illustrating and music sort of occupy equal parts of your heart, or does it like do you favor one over the other, or you're at peace and in balance?
People ask me this a lot. They ask me if you had to quit one or the other, which would it be? And I don't think I can, really.
Yep.
That'd be very sad. Anyways, I mean, to me, when I make music, I always sort of have this narrative that I'm scoring to, even if it's an imaginary cartoon and fictitious characters. That kind of informs where the music goes, and vice versa. If I'm just making a track, eventually I could be at the piano, and then eventually my brain will just start marrying it to this idea of like, oh, this is a track for this scene, and it'll create in itself a visual counterpart. Even if it doesn't end up in the album artwork or anything, it's always there in my brain. So I don't really separate the two at all, you know.
That's cool. Well, I don't think you should give up both.
Yeah.
And so thank you so much for thank you so much for doing this. It was so great to have you on the show. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
DJ, producer, composer, and award-winning graphic novelist Kid Koala. Make sure to check out his website for all of his information at kidkoala.com. Thank you.
Listen anytime, any place. Just a click away. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Thanks for joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show this week. We always appreciate your time. And thank you to our guests, the Jacksons, Serena Ryder, and Kid Koala. Next week, we welcome former Madonna dancer Salim Haulous, who was featured in her Truth or Dare documentary in the early 90s, and who is also featured in the recent documentary Strike a Pose, which catches up with his other fellow Blonde Ambition dancers and where they are now. Have a great week and make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can do that, KellyAlexanderShow.com. And of course, check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow.